311. Good day, blessed Sunday to all, and welcome to the 311 radio show, where we, the members of the Barbados Fire Service, try to educate you and inform you what's happening within our department, what's happening throughout Barbados, and to ensure that you are kept abreast. Joining me today is none other than Fire and Life Safety Officer, Mr. Kevin Sobers.
Hi, Barbados. Thank you for having me on the radio show once again. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yes. So that she almost stumbled on my title, Fire and Life Safety Officer.
I was actually promoting you.
Oh.
So, we have quite a show ahead of us for you. We are here to remind you of some of the do's and don'ts, some of the things that we're seeing happening within our society, within the society that is not only causing us to be stretched in terms of resources, but we're here to make an appeal, especially to drivers. We know thus far for the year we've had how many road fatalities? It's 10, 9, 10?
Too many.
Agree. We've had one too many. And looking around, we know that persons are distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even me, myself, I can tell you, I've been looking at the patterns of people when they're driving and trying to observe them. Now, I see people playing with little children in the back of the car. They're driving and playing with the little ones in the back of the car. You have persons out there. I mean, all of us have things on our mind. But when we're on the road, we need to be a bit more focused. I've seen persons, pedestrians on crossings, and traffic not yielding to them. I mean, in some cases, passing so close. These people are basically in the middle of the road, and you have motorists flying past them. Like, where are you in a hurry to go? Now, Mr. Sobers, I know you have a very heavy foot. Could you explain what is going on here?
Yes, I have a heavy foot because I always press on the brakes very hard to avoid the persons who dangerously maneuver on our roads, like my colleague right here. Now, further to what you just said, you're starting to see a lot more in terms of persons driving on the roads and not having their children strapped or buckled in to their seats or having their seatbelts on. Now, we always say the vehicle is moving at a certain speed, and if you collide or you have to brake sudden, imagine your child who is not secured flying at the same speed the car was traveling at and injuring themselves or even worse. So please, anytime you're leaving home or you're going anywhere, you have children or you're collecting any guardians or any persons who are underage, make sure that you buckle it into their child seats or into the back seat, not having them standing up between the seat or playing and looking through the window. Have them strapped in and buckled in to ensure that you both arrive at your destination as safe as possible.
Now, I can tell you further to that, as an EMT, we know that there are three collisions that happen within that one time. The first collision is you have the sudden halting or deceleration of the vehicle impacting whatever it came into contact with, whether it be a building, another vehicle, whatever.
Pool, yeah.
So imagine the force if you're going at 80, 100 kilometers per hour.
Mm-hmm.
That sudden break, that sudden stop. Everything inside that vehicle, because people seem to think the only thing that's moving at that speed is the vehicle. Not realizing that they themselves, within the vehicle, they're also moving at that speed. So the first collision you have is the vehicle hitting whatever it came into contact with.
Yes.
The second collision now is you within the vehicle striking your body, whether it be against the dashboard,
the
steering wheel, whatever. So yes, you're in the vehicle going at 100, your body is also moving at 100, colliding with whatever's in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third collision comes now with your internal organs,
yes,
now hitting the skeletal mass within your body. Whether it is your brain colliding with your skull, whether it is the heart, the lungs. And we fail to realize these things, that how we are impacting ourselves. There are so many times we talk about near misses and we fail to work. If not, in some cases, you would say, for the goodness of God, the grace of God, mm-hmm. how did you get hold of that? But why are we in such a hurry to meet our maker? Because, I mean, we still got to wait. You don't see him right away. You still have to wait to whenever he's ready to come for his world. And next question is, would you be the first resurrection or the second? But anyhow, I'm not here to preach today. I'm just here to appeal to human nature, to appeal to those persons. One, I don't know if you've seen it yourself on the highway, especially when pedestrians are crossing. You know, you're supposed to allow them to cross from one side over to the other side. As soon as people get in the middle, you would recognize that drivers just don't wait anymore. They're already accelerating and going. If that person decides, I forgot something and they want to turn back, why are we in such a big hurry? My thing is, if you know you have to be by a certain place at a certain time, what do?
Leave earlier to make sure you arrive on time.
And I think that's basic common sense, but everybody wants to stay in bed for that additional 5-10 minutes and still expect to get to their destination by the desired time. It doesn't work like that.
And also to the pedestrians as well. Yes, the pedestrian crossing is a way for you to cross, but please do not be walking on the sidewalk, walking towards the pedestrian crossing and just turn and just step down into the road. Approach the crossing, you stop and you signal to the oncoming vehicles that you want to cross, and once they have stopped, then you make your crossing. Don't go and then step in the road and then you call in all kind of words and everything, cursing the person because they did not realize you wanted to cross and you just suddenly go into the road and almost cause a collision. Please let common sense prevail.
So therefore, the emphasis is on all road users to be mindful on the road and to play your part. Pedestrians, you have a right to protect your life. Motorists, we don't see those vehicles laid up in hospital anywhere. We know sometimes, yes, frustration hits, but we're asking you to hold a level head. Keep a level head. That's all it calls for. And you would see that at the end of the day, life just goes on happily. Not with you now trying to run from the scene. I mean, we need to have some regard for life. The mere fact that we're hitting people and just driving off, we're treating people as though they're animals. And at the end of the day, I don't see how is it that you can strike someone, know you have struck someone. Don't even stop to check to see if that person needs any medical assistance and just drive off just to leave. It means we don't care about, we don't cherish life. We don't cherish each other. And imagine if that was you or someone that you love, how it would affect you. So we need to go back to being our brother's keeper. If you did something, own up to it. Take responsibility for your actions. Things happen. We're not perfect. But the difference is the choice that we make after. And that's what it comes down to. Do we act in a humane manner or do we just treat people as though they're just garbage discarded by the wayside? Tell me at the end of the day, how do you think these families feel losing their loved ones like that? Take a word to the wise. As we say, is enough. Let's see how wise you are. So, what else do we have in store?
You're going off and distracted driving, but so much things was just going through my mind because I was picturing the other day driving and I seen a lady driving and I don't know how she was steering because both of her hands, one was holding makeup and the other was a brush, right, fixing up her face. And it was like, how are you paying attention to the road? How are you steering and controlling the vehicle, moving at that speed, while you are decorating your face?
I don't know. And the thing for me, why this hits home, is this is because this is how I lost my grandfather. He was struck by a motorist. He was on his bicycle. And that's what has me fearful. My son, he's also a cyclist. I know others in clubs that ride with him. And then when you hear these stories, how as a mother, a father, you cannot have your heart in your hand or think about when your loved one goes out there on the road, will they return home?
Mm-hmm. I guess while we're talking about prevention as well, we could also look at housekeeping practices.
Oh my goodness.
How can you protect your home and prevent your home from being destroyed by fire? Now, in this day and age, I do not believe that any household should be out there or existing and do not have a smoke alarm and a fire extinguisher.
Preach it.
A smoke alarm alerts not just you but everyone in the house, as well as your neighbors as well, who would hear it. Alerts them in the early that there is a presence of smoke and the possibility of a fire. Now, when you notice a fire in the small stage, because the alarm is going to alert you pretty early, having the fire extinguisher then allows you to use the extinguisher to extinguish or to put out the fire without it causing any major damage to you, to your property, or to your neighbors as well. So these two fairly reasonable pieces of firefighting equipment for under $200, probably even less than $150.
Mm-hmm. Smoke alarm alone can get for under $20.
So what are you doing, my people? We have to protect our investment. We have to protect our loved ones. We have to protect ourselves. It makes no sense working so hard all of your life, sweating day in and night out, working 1, 2, 3 jobs to support your family, buying the latest gadgets, TV, all of your memories from being passed on from generation to generation, and seeing it and losing it all at the blink of an eye, because you know, fire doubles every what?
Every 30 seconds. But on top of that, what I want to add to this, and if you have not realized it as yet, for those of you who are listening to us, majority of the times when we hear about fire, look and see who the persons are that are impacted. It isn't the persons in the heights and the terraces. It is always the poor man. Will be considered the poor man. It is always the persons of a lower income bracket. And I think, I know in most cases, there is no insurance. So you don't have that security of peace of mind that if something should happen, you know what, at least I have a little insurance that may assist me to get back on my feet. In most cases, the persons will say they cannot afford insurance. Now, if you cannot afford the insurance, then it means that you, of all people, need to be more on your P's and Q's. You're the ones, especially when you have young children or older, elderly persons, whether it be a mother, father, aunt, whatever, whoever, residing with you, you need to be more careful. You need to be extremely careful. You're the ones, and I'm not talking, as I said, to the people in the terraces and the heights, those ones who can afford the insurance and have that piece of assurance that they can get back on their feet. I'm talking to you, my people. You're the ones who sweat like me, who try to make a dollar, to rub two coins together to make it stretch. You're the ones that I'm talking to this afternoon, this morning, whenever this program airs. At the end of the day, we need you to be more vigilant than anything else. We need you to understand that it is the things that you do within your home that makes the difference. If you have poor housekeeping practices, then you are making yourself more susceptible to having a fire. And it's not a case that you can just pick up. You're not a phoenix. You don't just rise from the ashes. As Sobers would have just alluded, after spending endless days and nights toiling to make sure that your dream comes true, to see it then end in fire, is it really worth it? Can we not find $20 to ensure that we have at least a smoke alarm, one smoke alarm within the home? Is there anything else that these persons can do to protect themselves?
No, at this point in time, it's our dry season, and you've heard the weather forecasters saying that it's going to get record numbers or record heat levels pretty soon. So if that means the increase of fires, and if fires are going the way they are now, and my colleagues are going from one fire to the next, over 10 hours and 14 hours straight, I could only imagine how it will be when it gets even hotter and drier. So in that case, if you know you live in an area where the grass burns, or the grass is growing up to your house, or it's growing onto your paling, or it's so tall that it's growing all onto your house and up to your roof, don't wait until the last minute and you see the fire burning coming towards your house to then cry out and say, oh, I should have and I could have. Use the opportunity now to get someone, or even you and your family, go outside and make sure that you create a break, a fire break around your home, at least 10 feet away from off of your home. Cut the grass low and level, that way that if the fire is coming towards your home, you have a break where the fire will burn to, and it's easier to get it extinguished rather than it spreading and burning your entire house to the ground. We do not want that. And you know, if we respond to a fire and there's 30 houses who has that situation, or who is or being affected or threatened by fire, the likelihood or the chances for us to protect all 30 is extremely risky and hard to get that done. Especially when the guys are going from fire to fire to fire. They're only human, they'll be exhausted, not having anything to eat or drink, and having to go from one fire to the next, and they have to do the same thing over and over again. We also ask that you help us to help you.
And I can remember, I think it was on Thursday, where we had the fire at Gibbons Bog. We had three tenders up there, three water trucks, as you would call them. We had three fire trucks, my apology, not water trucks, fire trucks up there. And do you understand what that means? Now, I know all of you, you're aware that we would have lost one of our fire trucks quite recently, just last week, in a fire. And we've heard the chief acting, as well as the minister, said it has impacted on our resources. And that's why we're calling for persons to be extremely vigilant at this point in time. Those persons out there who are just lighting fires indiscriminately, stop it. You need to stop it. If that fire gets away, and it's not even a case of you having to light some person's house, there's something called embers. And when embers blow onto an area that is dry, that is how we get fire jumping from one area to the next. And as he correctly said, if around the building, the house is not cleared, then that is going to be a recipe for disaster. It means somebody is going to hold their head, somebody is going to hold their belly, what has happened. And it's because of you, fire setters, you firebugs, why? It is totally uncalled for. At the end of the day, we are destroying our environment. We continue to talk about how hot outside is. We continue to talk about climate change. But at the end of the day, recognize that your actions, the things that you do, also help to impact, also adds towards this climate change, the greenhouse gases. We do not need all of this fire. There's no need for it. If you're interested in seeing the trucks, we have open day at the stations. You can feel free to go into any station, talk to the officers. If you want to sit in the truck, if you want to pull hose, go ahead. But again, it also comes back to the what we've been talking all about, water scarcity as well. Each time that we have to respond to these fires and we have to empty a 600 gallon truck on one of these fires, we are also depleting our water resources, water that we are in need of. Some areas every Sunday the water goes off. You don't know what those people are feeling, how it's impacting them. But everything that we do, there is an effect. You can decide today if you want to be the agent of change, because it starts with you. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at anyone else. Whatever you want to see, it has to start with you.
And then you also have to realize, here in Barbados, we don't have the luxury as in the international countries like the USA and UK, etc. Where when a fire is going, they have 20 plus trucks or fire trucks that respond to that one fire.
Oh, yes.
With hundreds of fire officers. We don't have that luxury. We have 5 stations actively responding to fires. 5 stations, 5 trucks with 4 personnel on a truck. Having to respond to these fires for a whole shift, 10 hours or a 14-hour shift, from one fire to the next. Please be more considerate. Please protect your property and those who know they're out there lighting the fires. Now is not the time.
Do you have any statistics that you can tell us how many fires in terms of grass fires or so we've had thus far for the year?
Well, so far, I don't even have for the year. I'm just going to keep it even shorter. Within 6 to 7 weeks, and this does not include the fires of today, there were 310 fires in that short time frame. 310 fires within a 6 to 7 week time frame. 187 grass fires, 58 rubbish fires, 4 electrical, 19 sugarcane fires, 9 private dwelling houses, 3 derelict houses, 6 other structural, 11 motor vehicle fires, along with the other type of fires.
Mm-hmm.
310 fires, plus 37 false alarm calls. So calls where persons may be calling and saying, oh, there's a fire in this area.
And there is none.
And there is none. And the truck has to respond through traffic, putting the officers' lives at more risk.
And other road users.
And the other road users as well. To get to the scene, to realize there's no fire, when that truck could have been responding to another actual fire. Because there's times where we get calls and all the appliances are out. And you have to be checking each truck to find out. Situation report to find out if they are soon finished with that one fire or if the fire is posing a threat so that you can have a truck released to go to another fire to come back to that fire. And that's what has been happening in Barbados. We don't have the luxury of that many appliances or fire trucks or personnel to respond to the large volume of fires that we have yearly. To break it down even further, within this time frame, the same 6 to 7 week time frame, Archall has had 98 fires, Bridgestone 59. The Bridgetown Port, 30, which is a total of 89 fires within the central area. 116 fires at the St. John Fire Station and 63 fires at Worthing Fire Station. And to make it even clearer to you guys, Christchurch for that period has had 45 fires, St. Andrew 20, St. George 49, St. James 28, St. John 49, St. Joseph 9, St. Lucy 19, St. Michael 67, St. Peter 8, St. Philip 63, and St. Thomas 15. So you have St. Michael with the most fires at 61.
Usual.
You have St. Philip at 63 in second. Then you have a tie between St. George and St. John at 49 fires. And Christchurch at 45.
Now, what is happening within... You said somebody had nine. I think that was St. Joseph. And St. Peter. What is it within those areas that those fires are so low compared to the rest? What is it that they're doing in their area that these others aren't doing?
And St. George, I want you to know that I'm disappointed.
Funny enough, looking at this, you're seeing St. Joseph and you're seeing
St. Peter.
St. Peter.
8 and 9.
8 and 9. St. Andrew at 20. And you can't even say that it's because sometimes the water be off regular, so they're not risking putting the fires because they do not have the water to extinguish the fire. You can't even say that's the reason. But clearly, in the heavily dense areas like St. Michael, Christchurch,
St. Philip,
as much as they have more houses, they're having more fires, and more so the grass fires, etc.
So which means that these persons are doing a lot more burning, obviously. Whether, I don't know if they're trying to get rid of trash, they're trying to get rid of the debris from around the house, but we've given you other avenues. Recycle, mulch, put it in the garbage for the sanitation to take away. There are other alternatives outside of burning. And as we've said constantly over and over, any burning, you need to have a burn permit. You are supposed to contact the Barbados Fire Service pertaining to that. And we don't just give them out willy-nilly either. An officer has to come, he does the inspection, and he would determine if, yes, go ahead, or you know what, there's another alternative, we work with you. And if we're willing to work with you, all we're asking is that you also be willing to work with us. These are too many fires. I know we had the chief acting recently boasting that fires were down, but we've just made him a complete liar because they're going up. At the end of the day, Barbadians, visitors, whoever you are, you have a part to play to determine how you want Barbados to look. The kind of future that you want to have, and by extension, that you want future generations to have. If we continue operating the way that we are, what are we leaving for those persons? A lot of smog in the air, a lot of unhealthy practices, burn fields wherever we go. And for crying out loud, we have Cricket World Cup coming to Barbados. Persons want to see greenery. They don't want to see the burn out grounds and whatever else.
And you also have the farther end. We have so many persons who have respiratory illnesses and the asthma, etc. So all of these fires, what is it doing to those persons? Are those persons who are at senior citizen homes and their care centers, and those persons who may not be able to be to up and relocate immediately? So all these fires are causing a dire effect on all of these different persons. So we really, really have to be mindful and do what we can to prevent and stop the burning.
So I think we've said a mouthful for this show. thanks once again for listening to us. And as we continue to say,
fire prevention is our intention.
But at the end of the day, you also have a part to play. Thank you and have a beautiful day.
Bye-bye.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.